Praise ye the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry. Today, I'm going to continue the message on the Book of Revelation series that we were talking about. We have gone through Revelation chapter 5. And I believe that the Lord himself will reveal more unto us as we go to Revelation chapter 6. Because from chapter 6 is where we begin the symbols of deep things that are coming to happen, that unless the Lord himself specifically give the meaning, you can give so many examples of what it could be. But as the Lord will give the meaning, it may only be one thing that it means. God, that is the author of this book, is the only one that can tell exactly what each symbol represents. And he is giving the meaning and the revelation to us in this end time, because he said at the end of the age, knowledge shall be increased. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to begin from chapter 6 now and let the Lord open this to us. And we can actually, just by reading through it, you can know that it's all what we call catastrophic situations, dooms, apocalypse, as the word that people always use. That is, most of the symbols is not talking peace at all for men on the earth, except for those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That we, the old book of Revelation, especially these symbols, has been describing apocalyptic situation that will take place to end the world. Like the Lord Jesus Christ prophesied when he was on earth himself, he said, "These are the beginning of sorrows." And I will actually read that to you before we go into the book of Revelation to make you to see that everything that you will see in the book of Revelation, actually from chapter 6, all through to the end, that are all symbols of doom for mankind, doom for men that are on earth, doom for those who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They are the what we call the timetable of events, or the calendar of events that will transpire to make mankind suffer or destroy themselves one way or the other. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus Christ gave another prophecy when he was on earth, where he actually summarized what will transpire throughout the end, till the end of the world. And here is one particular passage that is very interesting for us to take heed to. And when we read, I'm just going to read that particular verse so that you can see that it is in line with all the book of Revelation that the Lord came back through Apostle John to reveal to his church what will happen. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, he specifically said there will be wars and rumors of war, earthquakes in diverse places, and terrible things like that. He said, but these are the beginning of sorrows. That's what I'm trying to point to you. The beginning of sorrows. The end is not there, it's just the beginning of sorrows. And so when you go back to the book of Revelation, you can see all those things that were lined up, that will be to destroy mankind, that will be to destroy unbelievers. Really, those who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ will be the ones that are going to be destroying themselves, because they will be in deception, they will be destroyed, they will be beaten, going through a lot of troubles. But those that have accepted Jesus, because they are following the light, say, ye that believeth in me shall not walk in darkness, because they shall see the light of this life. That is the utterance of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth. Anyone that has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are certain that the Holy Ghost will be guiding and leading you. Because when we read chapter 6, you will begin to see how the devil will manifest it upon the earth to sway a lot of people and to destroy a lot of people, and to bring judgment and punishment upon a lot of people worldwide. And at the end of it all, the Lord Jesus Christ himself will take over the world. But the devil is going to be raging upon the earth. And this is what we will see from the book of Revelation chapter 6 onwards. Okay, let's go on and read chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now let me stop there and let's see What does this first symbol represent? And you have to remember that this prophecy was given something around 70-50 AD, just after the Lord Jesus Christ has gone up to heaven and Apostle John was reported to have been exiled in the island of Patmos. And the Lord was going to reveal to Apostle John and to the church what will be transpiring from the time of Apostle John till the end of the world. Do you think there will be anything that will be massive events upon the earth that God will not have known? I can begin to tell you some massive events that has a catastrophe, that has a worldwide effect. One of them is the rise of Islamic religion. Do you think that anything that is so massive like that will come to the world and God wouldn't have known about it? Or God wouldn't have revealed to us in the Bible? And I'm going to tell you exactly that this book of this particular revelation has pointed it out. Because Christ said in the book when he was prophesying, he said, there shall arise false Christ and false prophet that shall deceive many. You see that in the book of Matthew chapter 24. And I'm going to point to you that this particular white horse is representing a religion. And look at it. Look at the symbol again. He said, I built and saw a white horse. That white horse is representing, symbolizing a religion. And he that sat on him had a bow. Now, what is a bow? Now, look at the symbol of Islamic religion. They have a crest, the moon crest that looks like a bow. Now, when you see this, he said it has a bow. You never see an arrow on the hand of this fellow that was riding upon the white horse. It's only a bow, so it's a deception. It's a deception. That is what you have to first note. It's a false religion. But he has this bow that was symbolizing that religion, and that is exactly what you see in the Islamic movement. It's a crest. The crest of the moon is like a bow. That's what it was representing right there. And he said he went forth conquering and to conquer. And now the Islamic religion spread itself by war. They came all the way. The Arab when they were spreading the Islamic religion, they came with the sword, conquering the North African nations, conquering the Mediterranean world, and moving down south up to West Africa by war. It's a conquering and to conquer. But their religion, white horse, having a bow. So this is being prophesied almost 600 years before it took place. God was prophesying it to them because the founder of Islamic religion started around 672 AD when he was born. But this is actually already prophesied in the Bible. God already knew that there will be false Christ and false prophets that will deceive many. And look at how multitudes have been deceived in this generation, bowing down to stones, facing the east like the sun worshippers that the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, that they face the east and they bow their heads towards the east. And this is exactly what you see in that Islamic religion. Say, do you think there will be a massive scale religion like that God wouldn't have known about it and told us in the Bible? This is where it is represented, right there in the book of Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. Another thing that many people have been wondering about, that many have asked me, is where is the United States of America in the Bible? Even in America that I'm talking from here, many people couldn't believe where the United States is found in the Bible. They thought there is no representation of the United States. Do you think there will be a whole big, powerful nation like this that will come up towards the end of the world and God wouldn't have told us about it in the Bible? Especially in the book of Revelation, when God was telling us what will transpire from the time of Apostle John till the end of the world. It is already written here in the Bible. And when I get to that chapter, I point it to you where United States of America, Canada, and all the Western blocs that are discovered in later parts of the centuries, where they are represented in the Bible. They are right here in the book of Revelation. And God has their own, all of them have their own agenda, and all of them have their own things that God said will happen. And this is in the book of Revelation. As we get to each one of them, we will point them out. But the first See, was revealing that there will be a false religion that will sway many with conquering war, and they think they are serving God, they are doing it for God, that they either accept it or they be destroyed. But is that the type of religion that Christ brought? No, Christ brought peace. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our God is a God of peace. Our God is a God that loves mankind and wants to save mankind. Christ said, I've not come to destroy mankind, I've come to save them. At the end of the world, when they have gotten all that are going to be saved, then there will be a time for massive destruction of they themselves will destroy themselves, and the Lord himself will ride upon his own horse to destroy the rest of unbelievers that refuse to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. But during this time of grace, God is saving mankind. That is why this religion that was represented by the symbol of the white horse, that was conquering and to conquer with the sword, is actually a false religion, because it has only a bow without an arrow, and they are conquering with the sword, subduing people that will not that do not want to accept their religion with sword, and destroying people. And that was where our Islamic religion spread all over North Africa and all over Asian world and all over some part of Europe, until they were stopped by the European warriors too. And you will see that in the next one. Verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now you can see that seems to be almost self-explanatory, but that actually is symbolizing war and the warriors, because in the generation that have gone by, we can look back at history right now and be able to pinpoint so many warriors and so many kingdoms that have risen up in this world since the time of the Roman Empire, since the time of all the Mussolini, and all the time of all the French Revolution. So many rulers and warriors rose up and made wars and destroyed masses and things like that. Those were all represented there, because this one is taking peace from the earth, and there were wars, conquering and trying to subdue one another, subdue the other people. That took place. The first one was through Islam, through religion. The other one was through trying to dominate the world, the rest of Europe. That went on, not just the time of the Mussolini and all the others, even up through the time of Adolf Hitler, trying to take over the whole world through war. Those are all the wars that say take peace from the earth. The First World War, Second World War, all of those things are all represented in all of this. That God said a big sword was given to this spirit that was upon the earth to take peace from the earth through war. Now let's go to the next one. Verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hot not the oil and the wine. Now, this also is quite self-explanatory. See, the black horse symbolized famine, black plague, terrible things happening in the world. In the earlier centuries, there was a black plague that spread all over Europe, a fire, a pestilence that was destroying masses. And then also, we talk about here, we talk about a balance, which means food will be measured out, scarcity. And you can see that all through the centuries, and it's still happening up to some time recently in the 70s, in the 80s. All of this is Siamaki famine. And look at this, he said the black horse. Just think of the black African race that have been plagued with so many terrible things of famine. Why? Because of the devil that is doing those evil. Because of mismanagement also of their resources. Even the African continent mismanaging their resources and not being able to subdue the hard deserts until all this famine was taken over all so many parts of Africa. And also the spirit that is also behind it all is actually represented here, because nothing happens without some forces behind it, the forces of darkness that were behind it. A measure of wheat for a penny, that almost looks like food will be almost a whole day's wage to be able to buy food. What is it? A penny in the days of Roman Empire was like a whole day's wage, according to the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, that he sent some people into his field, the householders that went to hire laborers into the field. He negotiated with them a penny a day. That's like the old day's wage. And this is also symbolizing that a measure of wheat for a penny, that was like, say, a loaf of bread for a old day's wage. That is famine, shortage of food, and scarcity. And that has been plaguing the world, even in the days of depression in many European countries. When there was depression, there was no job, and the people are starving, not to talk of the famine that creep in upon the world. That all is represented here, just like the Bible said in the book of Matthew chapter 24, which I continually refer to, because that was the summary that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the apostles when he was telling them all the things that will transpire to, that will be called the beginning of sorrows to end the world. And this is one of them: famine and pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. And he said, that's not the end of it. He said, these are just the beginning of sorrows. And okay, let's continue here. In verse, now he said, see thou hot not the oil and the wine. What could that really mean? Well, a lot of people have said, when you look at the world right now, you can say, could it be the oil that people are, the petroleum oil that is flowing freely, making a lot of countries rich and wealthy? Yeah, you can talk about that. That seems to be not hot. But what do they use the money for? Most of these countries that are, that will have been prospering through this oil money, they are also just mismanaging the oil money. And then you talk about, what about wine? We can talk about spiritual wine not being hot, but also you can talk about the ungodliness that physical wine will be creating, that is making the world as polluted as more and more evil things are happening because of the excess in physical wine. And so all of these things are just being represented here, that they are all part of the beginning of sorrows for mankind. Now let's go on to verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now let's see, let's make this, all these four beasts, and all, let's make these four horses, let's compare them. You will notice that in the first horse, the name of the rider was not given. The second horse, the name of the rider was not given. In the third horse, the name of the rider was not given. In the fourth horse, now we know who actually was riding. The name of the rider was given in the fourth horse. It's the same spirit, satanic spirit, that was riding all those horses. And at the fourth and the last horse, they will actually tell us what is the name of this death, of this evil rider. It's Death, and Hell followed him. I mean, this is not, some people thought this must be the Lord Jesus Christ riding the white horse. No, sir. This is false religion, because Satan camouflages in many forms. He saw the Christianity moving all over the world, the apostles migrating, you know, moving and conquering and getting success. And also the Church of Rome was almost becoming like a nationalistic church by that time, almost like, well, wait a minute here. Christianity seems to be gaining grounds. So the devil rose up another false religion of his own. And that was what happened in the white horse. And then in the second horse, there was war and destruction. The same devil. It will manifest to those that we accept it as a false religion. And if you couldn't kill them that way, he will kill them with the sword. It's the same death angel. And if you couldn't kill them that way, we kill them with famine and food and shortages of food. It's the same death angel. And that is why in the fourth horse, we know who actually is riding. Death and Hell following him. And what was he using to kill mankind? To kill with the sword and with hunger. That's the famine. And with death, the natural death. And with the beasts of the earth. Anything that could, pestilences, plagues, those are beasts too. Because they are viruses and insects and germs. Small beasts of physical or mighty beasts destroying mankind. But you have to remember, God always seals his own people to protect them that we trust in him. Because God will never leave his soul without protection. And you will see in chapter 7 when the Lord God began to put seal upon them that I saw, so that the angels of destruction will not hold them. But these are just prophesying what is going to transpire. You can actually say chapter 6 is like a content of when you see the book, you see an index on the content page. That's what you can say chapter 6 is actually summarizing what is going to be in the rest of the chapters. Because you can, this book of Revelation is not to be taken as chronological. That is, don't think this will take place before the next one take place or before the next one take place. They are all just telling us the content of what is going to transpire all through the edge of the world, so that many of those things will be going concurrently at the same time. Many of those terrible things, whether wars or famine or false religion, they will all be going concurrently all through to the end of the world. So not that one will end and before the other one started. Now let's go to verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now that the sixth seal that we just saw here, or the fifth seal, is the beginning of the saints of God, whether they are alive or they are dead, began to cry unto God. They were asking for vengeance. And you can say those saints could be both the saints that were there before in the Old Testament, and even those that were being killed and crucified during the time of the persecution that came upon all the world. And now one thing that you have to, that I always point out here, is they were under the altar. You see, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now that under the altar is different from the presence of God that is everywhere this throne was set. So I've used that to point to the fact that where the dead saints are being kept, their souls and their spirits are being kept, is not the heaven where God is. To make that clear to us, that was why Christ rose up from the dead and went up into the sky, into heaven. So which means the heaven where Christ is now is up in the sky, whereas the souls of the dead saints, that were their physical body was in the grave, but their souls was symbolized here in this vision as looking from under the altar. Now you can see if somebody is under the altar, it's not at the same physical level as the altar and the people that are standing in front of the altar. So that's why the heavenly location where this throne was set is not the same location where these dead saints are being kept right now. Their souls are being kept. So I call where they are being kept paradise. It's a lower location. You can say maybe it's a physical, geographical location in the spiritual world, but not the same location as where the Lord Jesus Christ is right now, where those who are in heaven, but before the throne of God, where they are located. This is an example of that pointing to us. Now he went further, that they were given white robes and they are to rest until the end of the world, when there will still be persecution. There will still be people being killed for the faith in Christ. That has taken place. It took place in the days of the emperors of Rome, in the days of the papacy power over all the European countries, where papacy or the Roman Catholicism was killing most of the Protestant believers. And it will still occur again at the end of the world, where the Antichrist will rise up and persecute a lot of Christians. So that also will occur at the end of the world. So that is why these souls of the saints, or souls of them that have died for their faith, are being told to rest a little while until all of these things are taking place. And then the judgment will come. And let's see where the judgment begins to come. This is, like I said, this is like a content of a whole book, the content page. That tells us that the next few chapters are going to elaborate further. And here it is, verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casted out in untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men and the rich men, and the ship captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dales and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So you can see that in the sixth seal, now it's talking about where the Lamb of God or the Lord God Almighty is about to begin to judge the world, because the saints have cried for vengeance. And he said, wait a little while till we get all those that are going to be killed and persecuted, and they're all done. Then the sixth seal will bring in the judgment from God himself. What has been taking place all along before that judgment started was terrible things that are happening because the devil was on earth. Now God himself will begin to judge both the devil and people that are following the devil on this earth. So the devil is one doing all those havocs and all those terrible things right here on earth. Persecution, killing and beheading, false religion, wars and rumors of war. The devil is doing all of those things, both to human beings and to those who are following God. Just do it to anybody you could find, because he hated mankind. The devil does not just hate Christians, he hated just human beings. He hated Adam in the first place and all the seed of Adam. Now, after Christ has come to present the true God, those who refuse to accept the true God also, they have joined the devil. Now, at the end of the world, God will now begin to judge both the devil and those who refuse to accept the true God, because they have to be cleaned out of this planet earth. Like the Bible said, Christ said, in the end of the age, God will send his angels like reapers to sever the unjust from among the just, and there are going to be a separation where the unjust will be cast into the lake of fire or destroyed. The first have to be wiped out. This is the beginning of that earthquake, black, the sun turned to darkness and things like that. It's been the beginning of that. Now we are going to continue in the next broadcast, but I want to invite you to accept Jesus if you have not accepted Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Like Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This book of Revelation is making it clearer and plainer. As you open your heart to understand it, you will understand better why Jesus is the only way. Like we saw in chapter 5, he is the Lamb, he is one on the throne, that is the God Almighty. He came to the world like a Lamb of God to save mankind. And why, that was why the 24 elders were worshipping both the Lamb and worshipping the one on the throne, because he's the same person. Jesus loves you. Accept him as your Lord and Savior, and take your Bible and begin to read the scriptures, and you will understand it better. God loves you, and God bless you. Write to us.
Write to the Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA.
On the internet, our web address is www.gospeldistribution.org. You have to spell it out, one word, gospeldistribution.org. You can send us email also. Send email to webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. God bless you. Jesus is coming soon.